The Final Problem by Arthur Conan Doyle. It is with a heavy heart that I take up my pen to write these, the last words in which I shall ever record the singular gifts by which my friend, Mr. Sherlock Holmes, was distinguished. In an incoherent and, as I deeply feel, an entirely inadequate fashion, I have endeavoured to give some account of my strange experiences in his company, from the chance which first brought us together at the period of The Study in Scarlet, up to the time of his interference in the matter of the naval treaty, an interference which had the unquestionable effect of preventing a serious international complication. It was my intention to have stopped there, and to have said nothing of that event which has created a void in my life, which the lapse of 2 years has done little to fill. My hand has been forced, however, by the recent letters in which Colonel James Moriarty defends the memory of his brother, and I have no choice but to lay the facts before the public exactly as they occurred. I alone know the absolute truth of the matter, and I am satisfied that the time has come when no good purpose is to be served by its suppression. As far as I know, there have been only 3 accounts in the public press, that in the Journal de Genève on May the 6th, 1891, the Reuters Dispatch in the English papers on May the 7th, and finally the recent letter to which I have alluded. Of these, the first and second were extremely condensed, while the last is, as I shall now show, an absolute perversion of the facts. It lies with me to tell, for the first time, what really took place between Professor Moriarty and Mr. Sherlock Holmes. It may be remembered that after my marriage, and my subsequent start in private practice, the very intimate relations which had existed between Holmes and myself became to some extent modified. He still came to me from time to time when he desired a companion in his investigation, but these occasions grew more and more seldom, until I find that in the year 1890, there were only 3 cases of which I retain any record. During the winter of that year, and the early spring of 1891, I saw in the papers that he had been engaged by the French government upon a matter of supreme importance, and I received 2 notes from Holmes, dated from Narbonne and from Nîmes, from which I gathered that his stay in France was likely to be a long one. It was with some surprise, therefore, that I saw him walk into my consulting room upon the evening of April the 24th. It struck me that he was looking even paler and thinner than usual. "Yes, I have been using myself up rather too freely," he remarked in answer to my look rather than to my words. "I have been a little pressed of late. Have you any objection to my closing your shutters?" The only light in the room came from the lamp upon the table at which I had been reading. Holmes edged his way round the wall, and flinging the shutters together, he bolted them securely. "You are afraid of something?" I asked. "Well, I am." "Of what?" "Of air guns." "My dear Holmes, what do you mean?" "I think that you know me well enough, Watson, to understand that I am by no means a nervous man. At the same time, it is stupidity rather than courage to refuse to recognize danger when it is close upon you. Might I trouble you for a match?" He drew in the smoke of his cigarette as if the soothing influence was grateful to him. "I must apologize for calling so late," said he. "And I must further beg you to be so unconventional as to allow me to leave your house presently by scrambling over your back garden wall." "But what does it all mean?" I asked. He held out his hand, and I saw, in the light of the lamp, that 2 of his knuckles were burst and bleeding.